Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaverde. Last week was a cringe week for me as talk of something akin to price control surfaced on the campaign trail. Pulling from memory now, I don't recall the actual use of the words price controls, but when a politician talks about addressing corporate price gouging, it rings a familiar bell in my memory dating all the way back to the early 70s. President Nixon tried price controls when he issued Executive Order 11615, imposing a 90-day freeze on wages and prices in order to counter inflation in 1971. Such actions by central governments are an affront to free market principles and, as being such, fail miserably when tried across a broad front. This latest claptrap centers around our high grocery bills. A journey into the weeds is necessary on just how dangerous price controls are and why implementing such policies will not only fail, but exacerbate the very problem that controls are attempting to correct. Nixon learned this the hard way, and since then, the U.S., for the most part, has avoided such nonsense. Assuming that current grocery prices are the result of greedy corporation price gouging, we first look at the profit margin that grocers operate on, which is a factual 1 to 2%, considering that the United States defense contractors usually sport a healthy 11 to 13% profit margin selling those $500 hammers. Our woeful grocer struggles along by his 1 or 2%, eking out his living by making it up on volume. Now let's assume it costs a baker $2.75 to make a loaf of bread, and after it goes through the wholesaler and his supply chains, and you add in the shipping costs, it sells at a price of about $3, yielding a 25-cent profit split between all those people that try to get the bread to the market. Along come the government, capping the selling price of $2.50. Customers love the new lower price, and they start buying bread. The baker, however, and all his supply chain buddies now loses money on each loaf they handle. Since the baker and the wholesaler stand to gain nothing, they untie their aprons and work clothes and walk away to see about claiming unemployment. The result is an empty bread aisle. The happy customer, who's thrilled the government hammered down the price on the greedy grocer and taught the greedy grocer a lesson, now can't find any bread at all. Then a funny thing happens on the way to the bread aisle. Well, not so funny, really. Demand for bread skyrockets. As little bread is to be found, as many of the bakers and the wholesalers suffer a similar fate and can't make a profit, and they stop doing what they do, which is making bread. High demand and lower supply, which is a result, or no supply, as places like Venezuela soon found out, leads to even higher prices on what bread there is for sale on the black market. If history is any indication, eventually there will be no bread for sale in the regular markets as buyers rush to scoop up what bread they can find and then have to resort to the black market. Since the amount of goods transacted decreases and profit margins disappear, workers are fired and unemployment spikes. The avalanche of bad things picks up speed as buyers now look for bread substitutes. That causes higher demand at other things, and then those prices go higher. Along comes the same government, and hearing complaints that the substitute prices are going higher, they aim their price controls at more products and services, and more shelves empty is the same thing that happened to the baker happens to all those other suppliers. Rinse and repeat, and what you get are catastrophic results along the supply line and chaos at the retail level with empty shelves. Prices on other goods not yet controlled then skyrocket, and then the government puts more price controls on. Black markets eventually pop up, and competitive pricing goes out the proverbial window, as black markets have no such price controls nor the protection of quality control. Although price controls aim to cap prices, much like trying to control a river flowing downhill, free market forces always find a way to allocate what remains of the goods for sale by ratcheting up the price through the outlet of the black markets. Either that, or a few goods actually make it to the store shelves, and if they do, they are quickly scooped up by eager buyers who far outnumber the supply. In my 5 decades of economic study, price controls in one area of supply always, and I repeat, always result in more price controls being needed in other areas. Until finally, the instigating government realizes the folly in their attempt to control pricing and lift controls because of the resulting market catastrophe. Either that, or the situation continues to get worse. In conclusion, although the very whisper of anything even resembling price controls makes me grit my teeth and squint without measure, from an economics point of view, in a morbid sort of way, it sure is fun to watch. I'm watching the market so you don't have to, and that does it for today's Money Matters. This newscast expresses my opinion only. It is not meant as investment advice, nor represents the opinion of any bank, investment firm, or registered investment advisor, nor this media outlet, its staff, members, or underwriters. I hold a BA in Economics with Honors, 1979, and California Insurance License OL34249. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Money, so they say.